buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Mr. Fairbanks engineering and producing our program on this Friday, July the 8th, 2016. It's a very sad day, of course, in our country after the deadliest day for law enforcement since 9/11. And just a time for people to kind of reflect and, hey, regardless of the color of your skin, we're all Americans and basically a lot of good people out there, Dylan Smith.
Indeed. It's been a very sobering week altogether, yes. I think. You know, I don't like how the media continually uses the word tragedy every time something kind of sort of bad happens. I think that's a little bit overwrought and overused word. But I think a lot of the things that happened this week have been pretty tragic.
Very true. Very true.
I think in these cases, that word applies.
We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI. You're listening to The Buckmaster Show, and we are streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. On Friday, I like to do a shout-out to people like Dylan Smith. Dylan, thank you for your support of TucsonSentinel.com.
You
appreciate that. Also, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans, all are supporters of our program, posting very prominently on their websites links to the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview, we're going to talk transportation. Perhaps you have a very, you've got something out maybe right in front of your home, a pothole that you would like fixed. We could help
that,
you.
For those who aren't in the studio, that got a grimace from our guest.
Yes, that got a... Daryl Cole is with us, the city transportation director. But Daryl wants to hear from you. 790-2040. He wants to know the condition of your neighborhood street, and there is a hotline that we're going to tell you about where you can get right through to someone. Kind of like, I call it the pothole hotline. Mr. Cole is joined by Dylan Smith. Dylan is the editor and publisher and the founder of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Daryl, that number is 791-3154.
Correct.
Is that correct for your pothole hotline? And by the way, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it, Mr.
So
Professor.
We are getting the pothole situation under control?
Well, if you'd have asked me that just before our monsoon season, I would have said, yes, we're doing much better. About 90%, I was looking at stats before I got here, about 90% of the potholes that we had reported, we were getting within 6 days, and that's an improvement. I think all bets are off after we've had the last few storm events, and we've kind of pulled off of that and kind of doing some cleanup. But we were doing really well, and the reporting was coming in, and we were being pretty effective by getting things in and out and completed.
Overall, since Prop 409, the five-year road improvement program, we're a couple of years into it. You've got a couple more fiscal years, luckily, that we can work on fixing our roads. Give us the report card at this point, kind of the midway point. Where are we?
As we know, in November of 2012, the voters voted for our Proposition 409, which was a $100 million program. It was about a 15% split to 85% split initially, for 15% being the local roads, residential, and 85% being the arterials and collector streets, the larger streets, if you will. We're into this. We go by fiscal year. Our fiscal year ends June 30th, which we just started, beginning July 1st. So we're just finished up our third season of paving. We still have about $5 million remaining under contract. It's underway of that third paving season. So we're $55 million into this so far over the 3 years with the other $5 million contracted. You'll see it in the next 60 days. So We've done a lot. I think folks know, you know, things that I hear is, man, where's all this construction? How come all the orange barrels and signs and barricades? And
it's kind of, you know, interesting over a couple of years. Yeah. We've gone from, you know, people endlessly complaining about the state of the roads and, oh, I hit a pothole and I got to go get the wheel alignment. And now it's, you know, there's construction everywhere and I can't get across town.
So people are screaming about everybody, taking forever.
You know, people are going to complain, I guess, but at this point, there are still a lot of residential streets that are in really, really poor shape, and I think there's definitely still something to complain about there. It's a pretty long story how we got here, but how do we fix it moving ahead?
Well, to touch on the arterial streets, you're right. The first thing time I think I spoke here on the radio station was we could name all the streets that we wanted to do and very few that we had that were, these are in good condition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was right after you started. So that's at least a couple of years ago.
Almost four now.
Oh, 4 years. Okay.
So, yeah, August will be four. So that was the discussion. Now you can probably name those streets that are the ones that are in bad condition that you really want to look at.
And I called you out on those before we went on the air. My two pet peeves, Tucson Boulevard, Fort Lowell to Speedway. And I looked at your list. It's on there. The contract has been let there. And, of course, my big complaint when people come into the airport, Valencia needs work desperately. More good news. I see it on your list, Daryl.
Yeah, Valencia, we in front of the airport, as you said, was the first impression we've all get off the airplane and people who we bring into our community to look at the community, and that's it. So Valencia, 12th Avenue all the way to Alvernon, you're going to see some work here probably in the next 90 days. Probably the next 5 months you'll see it all complete. There's several others, but that's a big one for us. We really want one of probably our poorest large street here.
But how do we tackle those residential streets that are crumbling all over town?
The residential streets, as you know, we have neighborhood. We broke it into quarter mile sections. I think there's about 22 out of 400 neighborhoods that we're going to touch. So we're just a very small percentage.
Albert has been waiting. He's got a street report for us. Albert, go ahead.
Yeah, well, mine is out in the county. I don't know if this affects anybody there.
Well, we'd like to hear about it anyway. Go ahead.
Okay, Annoy Road, south of Aver Valley Road, 3 miles. They come out and they fill a pothole one day, and then the next day they're right back in holes again. We have more holes out there than you shake a stick at. And it seems like they fill several of them one day, but they miss several of them the same day. And I don't know, we need to have it redone. And then I have a question, Annoy Road. When are they going to finish that? All the way out to Annoy, going west out over the hill.
Okay. Daryl?
Those roads, both of those roads are on Pima County. Mm-hmm. As we know, there's some work on Ina right there at the interstate, but what you're talking about is Pima County. I can get that information back to Mr. Buckmaster through Pima County, but that's outside our jurisdiction a little bit. We can sure find out that information for you, though.
Yeah, that would be.
You might know a guy over there, right?
A couple of them.
You bumped into him a time or two.
Daryl Cole is with us. Daryl is the city's transportation director, 790-2040. Let's go to Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Hello, good afternoon. I've got a road. How about Broadway from Camino Seco to Houghton? It's falling apart.
Broadway, go ahead, Daryl.
It is. It's one of our poorest roads between Broadway and 22nd Street, Camino Seco all the way to Houghton through the Harrison is an RTA project. That's in design as we speak. We have CenturyLink out there going to be starting probably towards the end of the year, replacing their lines all the way through that corridor. It's one of their main lines. And we'll start that project probably next fall, not the fall of 2017, actually breaking construction, and you'll see some effort out there to improve that whole section through there, about 2 miles.
When the contract is awarded, usually from that period to when the job is completed, depending on how big the job is, I guess, but is it a couple of years that it takes, or How far out do you work on these?
Oh, we work out several years out.
Okay.
Several years. That particular one's about a 15-month project from the time we break ground. There's 13 separate water crossings on that particular, stormwater crossings on that particular section. You don't notice it, but there is, and there's quite a little bit of utility coordination as well. So we're in it. We're in well into design. We're probably between the 30 and 60% design as we speak.
And so that's basically a rebuild project. You're taking that road back down to its bare bones and redoing it.
Correct.
As opposed to some of the other projects, which is, you know, the quick skim over the surface to kind of clean things up.
Yes, that is complete reconstruction.
And that's why it's going to take such a long time. It's a more fundamental project.
And we're widening it as well, and you're building new curbs and sidewalks and lighting, and you're doing a whole bunch more work.
And Grant Road was kind of what you would be the quick, kind of quick fix.
Well,
right.
that was like the interim fix when you did that Midtown stretch to cover up all those crazy potholes because it's going to be – that stretch is like 5 or 6 years out at this point through the complete redo of that?
Yes. We're in phase two of Grant Road right now, which is Oracle East, Santa Rita.
Mm-hmm.
And then Santa Rita farther, what we have, phase three and four of Grant Road, we just paved, as you know, which was in just deplorable condition. And it should be probably we're 5 or 6 years out is probably a good guess at this point in time for that section.
So that was kind of a Band-Aid solution running through around Campbell and in that area where it got resurfaced.
Well, as we all know, if you drove it at all, it's a major arterial across our roadway.
It was terrible.
It needed help, and we found some state dollars to go in there and put money in that. So we were real pleased with that process.
All right. Daryl Cole will stick around for a second segment. It's our Friday Focus interview. Dylan Smith is here from Tucson Sentinel. Like to hear from you, 790-2040. What is your road complaint? You've got an issue. This is the opportunity. You're going to hear from Daryl Cole. If it's in the county, he can get you to the right people. But if it's in the city, that's his jurisdiction. Be right back. First, we hear from our Friday rock and roll bumper music, intermission music, Simon and Garfunkel.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com, We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
I'll take your part. Oh, when darkness comes and pain is all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today with Daryl Cole. Mr. Cole is the City of Tucson Transportation Director. He has been so. It's hard to believe, Daryl. 4 years on the job?
Yeah, four years in August.
I think your first media interview is here on the show, right after you started.
I believe you're correct.
Yep. Dylan Smith is with us. Dylan is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. And Richard would like to talk about his favorite, maybe that's not the... Well, favorite street with a problem.
He's going to brag about the street in front of his house.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, guys. The new light at Oracle and Ina, the Michigan Left light, that light is on a timer. After we spend all that money, that is not even a computerized or camera-driven light. So, Bill, I'm losing like 20 or 30 seconds each way in the morning on that light. And other times when I come back through there every day. I mean, it's a disaster. Hmm. And I'm sure we've had lives saved, but couldn't we have put a computer in there and made that a smart light?
I don't know. Daryl, what do you think?
The controller at that intersection, the cobalt controller, is doing that. I can check and see if it's on recall, as you say, on time-based. It shouldn't be. We can reset that. You do have the ability to have cameras in it to have progression. That's the whole idea of the Michigan Lefts. And so we can verify it. Sometimes it will go on recall, especially when we have some of the storms we've had. But no, that it should be functioning, and okay. That's
but
good information.
Check it out.
I can check it out and get that fixed.
See, that's why.
Well, he said Ina, right?
Yeah. Ina and Oracle.
That's not your light, is it?
Well, Ina and Oracle is Pima County.
Yeah. And but so, you can give them a nudge.
Yeah, he can.
We know a guy.
He knows people.
Yeah.
Regionally, we help with the traffic signal system all the way around. So we worked at that. That's
how is that going, the one at Grant? How's that working out?
It's working very well. If you're on progression for Grant, it works extremely well. Obviously, your north-south streets across that aren't as efficient, but it works extremely well for Grant for progression.
Has it had, at this point, a noticeable effect on collisions there?
Yes, we have. We initially, you know, people are used to turning left, so we had some of that. But since we've gotten through a couple winter seasons, too, now it's made a big difference, and people understand it and use it, and it worked very, very well.
It kind of changes your psychology of how you have to approach an intersection. But for me, once I figured out, you know, just the sort of, can't really call it muscle memory, but just, you know, the idea of just continue on through and then flip right around, the stumbling block is kind of gone for me as I drive through there. And if I'm trying to, you know, make a left off of Grant and head north or something like that, it just becomes a little bit more automatic.
I think it's just we condition ourselves.
Yeah.
And as we build more, as the grant next phase goes on, we'll have a couple more in that next phase. You'll get more used to that. But actually, progression across town through grant, since we have we don't have a crosstown interstate, if you would, this really works well because it moves that traffic.
Speaking of Grant and Swan, the poles are still up for the radar. Are they coming down soon?
I'm sure he's heard from Mark Spear about that.
Oh, yeah. That's why I asked it. I'm sure Mark's listening.
Well, they're not being used for, obviously, for that. But police department's still collecting data from those and seeing how people are using that. Mm-hmm. So it's more for just information that they have that for, to see how people are reacting to that. So they've left that infrastructure up there just for that purpose.
Dylan?
We were talking a little bit during the break about we have the anniversary,
anniversary
of the streetcar coming up.
This month,
We did just have the city cut back on late night hours on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, or the weekend bar hopping hours, I guess you might say. How is ridership going?
Overall, ridership's been up since we first projected it before we started. It's been very, very good. The hours that you're talking about, those hours, we were around 30 people an hour in those late hours, less than 40 all the way those days. That's why we kind of cut back.
And that's over an hour, which is several streetcars.
Yes. We usually run at night four, mm-hmm. sometimes three, depending on how late it gets. But that way, because you're getting 10 to 15-minute intervals. So
now it's running through midnight Friday and Saturday, right?
Yes. And if we have events like, second Saturday's coming up, or any of the
Fourth
events
of July,
that we have, Fourth of July, we'll increase those and for those events and make sure that we have them running for those type of things. So it's worked out pretty well.
And at least through the first several months, there were a lot of problems with the people actually being able to pay their fare, even if they wanted to. Problems with the machines, problem with things getting read. Has that been hammered out?
We put in lots of new technology that the industry hadn't seen before. We had several items, whether it be the readers, the card readers. We put new SunGo cards in themselves. So we had new radio technology to the cars themselves of where they were tracking, where they were. We've worked 98% of those things out. We're still having a few bugs on communication at times, but overall it's worked extremely well. The people have done very well. We have fare enforcement out there now helping people how to read tickets, especially when we have new users that are coming in and just helping them and understanding how that works. So it's worked well.
Daryl, the company that built the streetcars up in Portland, they no longer are in that business. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
They moved on to other things. So I'm just wondering, it would be like if, Dylan, if you bought a new car and then a year later, the car company was out of business. So you wonder about maintenance for that.
Spare parts.
Yeah, the whole thing.
What do we do in 10 years when these things have some wear on them?
Well, I can tell you, we have, as part of the initial purchase of these, we have several years of parts that we have set aside, $1 million+ worth of parts that we've set aside for that. As part of the deal when I initially bought
those. You stockpiled $1 million worth of parts?
Well, they store them in Oregon as well. And we also we do have a warehouse that we keep, parts for. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty well set on that. They're very well-made cars. We're very, very pleased on how they produce. So we have intervals of what we have, certain things we need to do, chassis that we're going to change out at the fifth year mark and certain. But so we're pretty set for the 10 years. Now, beyond 10 years, we know the manufacturers, the individual manufacturers that made some of the parts themselves, so we can be able to go back. We have blueprints on everything from every part down to the component level. So we have the information to get these manufactured as we go forward.
So a lot of the pieces of the streetcar were farmed out to other companies. It didn't all just come from, what was it, Pacific Ironworks?
Oregon Ironworks. A great company. They're still there in the shipbuilding business and doing other things. It's quite a plant. I've been up there and looked at it. But there's just not a lot of call for streetcars worldwide.
How about one-way streets? Any changes coming in downtown with the growth of downtown and the popularity now of downtown? Street flow is pretty much where you would like it right now?
We're monitoring that quite often. Mm-hmm. As you have, new business come in,
right.
New hotels come in. We're constantly monitoring how that works and going more to a two-way than one-way as we get those things. They work things a little bit better. At least that's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Some new pedestrian elements that we've been putting in, bike elements and such. So that's something we're monitoring very close. We're looking at a little more wayfinding downtown, how to get to the parking garages, where to go, when to go as you come in. And those type of things, because there's a lot of events, there's a lot more activity downtown, and we want to make sure we stay with that. So we're counting, you know, pedestrians and bicycles and vehicles to see where people are going and how do we make sure we get them on time.
Your website maps, I think, what is it, Maps 2, let's see, Maps 2 at TucsonAZ.gov, something like that, yeah, will get you to see where road jobs are in the city.
We have an interactive map for the 5-year Prop 409 program, our paving program, that gives you the schedule of the projects themselves, the limits of those, the cost of those by individual segment, what's been completed, what's in front of you, and what's coming 2 years away. We're real pleased with the map, but it's really informative.
All right. Sarah has called us. We can get one more road question in. Hey, Sarah.
My question is, I live on the south side, and I predominantly drive on the south side, but I know this is all over the city. Can the city send out, and the county, people to chop down the bushes that block the view of oncoming traffic?
Okay. Daryl?
The short answer is yes. What we would ask from you is we get locations really help us out. If you'll call us at the number we gave you, the graffiti number, the 791. And here, I'll get that for you, 791-3154, or catch us on the website. Any way we can get notice of those, yes. Site visibility is an issue that we deal with quite often. We have a lot of growth and trees, and we look forward to that.
Especially this time of year, as all the desert brooms sprouts up with the monsoon.
Okay. Sarah, if you didn't get that number, here it is again, 791-3154. Daryl Cole, thank you very much. Always good to have you come on the program. Give us a road update. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time.
Dylan, stick around. Can you give us another few minutes?
Certainly.
All
would
right.
Love to.
Jim Nintzel is going to join us also from the Tucson Weekly. It's the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition. Simon and Garfunkel are intermission music for us. Tom, what do you have?
Song for the asking.
Right. Thanks, Daryl. Good job.
That goes fast, you guys.
So sweetly I'll make you smile. This is my tune for the taking. Take it, don't turn away. I've been waiting all my life.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare. by taking your medicines safely.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Paul Ackerstrom and Jim Kelly, plus former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Buckmaster, live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030. KVOI, we've got live streaming podcasts and archive on my site, buckmastershow.com.
Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw, and I've come to look for a man.
Simon and Garfunkel are bumper music on this Friday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. It is the roundtable portion of our hour. Dylan Smith is here, the editor and publisher of Tucson's online service known as TucsonSentinel.com. Jim Nintzel is joining us now on the live line. Jim is the senior editor, senior writer for Tucson Weekly. He also is the host of the TV show Zone of Politics, which airs Sunday morning at 8 on CW Tucson, Channel 8 on Cox and Comcast, and Channel 58 on Dish, DirecTV, and broadcast. And you can also hear the rebroadcast at KXCI on 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Jim, did I get all of that right?
You did indeed. Thank you so much, Bill, for letting folks know where they can find us.
Jim, it's a very sad day. Dylan and I were talking briefly about the whole situation with Dallas at the beginning of the hour. This is really, and by the way, the Tucson Police Department have announced they're going to be holding a news conference this afternoon with local community leaders and law enforcement personnel discussing the shootings last night in Dallas. Jim, some of your thoughts.
Well, you know, it just seems like things get worse and worse in this country on this front all the time. It's this toxic mix of loose availability of firearms and racism and concerns about what's going on with officers pulling over African American men and people of color, and this whole incident in Minnesota this week, where the guy explained that he did have a CC permit or CCW permit, and was trying to work with the police officer and still ended up dead, is just horrifying. What happened in Dallas is horrifying. I'm at a loss for words, quite honestly.
It really is something that I think we all need to take a breath and be a little bit more considered in how we discuss things. The level of rhetoric
on social media is just unbelievable.
That is, you know,
it's the levels. it's just,
and that's not just this specific issue, but for so many political and social issues that are being not discussed, but yelled and screamed and ranted about, it does not lend itself to a functioning society, and we all need to dial it down, take a breath, take a step back, and remember that we all have to live together somehow.
Amen, Dylan Smith. By the way, Chief Magnus, the chief of police of Tucson, will be our guest in a couple of weeks here on our Friday Focus interview. And I think Tucson is fortunate to have a man like Chief Magnus, who has really a fine record when it comes to community policing.
That's something that has gotten him into a bit of hot water here and there. Before he came to Tucson, when he was the police chief in Richmond, California, which is right next door to Oakland, he pretty much took part in a Black Lives Matter protest, held a sign, was out there talking with his the people in his community, and had a photograph taken of him holding that sign, and that's something that he has been proud of being part of, to be that connected to his community. But a number of police officers were not quite understanding of where he was trying to come from with that, and the rhetorical level rather than the listening to each other way of approaching things.
Jim Nitzel, the situation at the, yesterday, Senator Flake, in effect, confronted Donald Trump. That was rather interesting, wasn't it, Jim?
Sure was. This is a closed-door meeting, but word got out pretty quickly that Senator Flake was introduced to Donald Trump, and Trump made some comment about Flake not supporting him, and he got up and started defending John McCain against the comments that Donald Trump made last year. And
saying that he wasn't the senator who was captured.
Yes, yeah. And then the classic line where Trump said that Flake would be losing his reelection effort, and then Flake explained that he wasn't on the ballot this year. And, it just sounds... Donald Trump went back to Washington to try to unify the party, and I don't think it went quite as well as he would have liked in that effort. I think there's still a lot of Trump had one of the craziest weeks yet on the campaign trail. The speech he gave earlier this week was I think incoherent. I think is a kind way of putting it. And
that's a charitable assessment.
Yes, indeed. Swatting at mosquitoes and talking about his kid. There wasn't a lot of message discipline, I think, in that speech. And then you just had...
And that was a day when he could have really come out with a focused message and hit Hillary Clinton pretty hard. And
exactly.
He did not at all. There was no substance behind what he was trying to get at with that. And a complete swing and a miss as far as trying to win the political day.
Right. Yeah. Hillary. There's a lot of unforced errors going on here, where Hillary is under fire over these emails, and although she was obviously cleared from any concerns about prosecution by the FBI, there were still some harsh words said about how she handled the classified material, and certainly Trump had a lot of opportunities here this week to bring the focus onto her, and he kept the focus on himself and in absolutely bizarre ways. And this is 2 weeks before the convention. I just don't see this whole thing going well for the Republicans this year, honestly.
Jim, you wrote in the Skinny this week, your long-running column at Tucson Weekly, about the Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick, her bid to unseat Senator John McCain. We had Congresswoman Kirkpatrick on the program last Friday, and she certainly is buoyed by a lot of these polls. Polling shows her, doesn't it give her a slight advantage, or very close anyway?
I think overall McCain's running ahead. If you look at the average, I think there may have been one poll that showed her a couple points ahead, but within the margin of error. And we see this a lot in Arizona, where people are Democrats are running well, and then on election day they fall short. And so I certainly think McCain has the advantage still going into this, but this is a year of very unexpected twists and turns, particularly with the Trump phenomenon. Democrats are clearly hoping that Trump is going to become such an embarrassment to Republicans at the top of the ticket that Democrats have shot at a wave. And you can see that with them even still investing a little money to try to connect Martha McSally to Donald Trump, and the hope that a wave would be big enough to even help them win that race, where McSally is very clearly favored to win.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had Terry Goddard on the program yesterday, and I asked him, does he think that this would be the first time in a long time, I believe, since President Clinton carried Arizona.
96.
Yeah, 96. Is he looking, is he excited about the prospect of Arizona perhaps winning, becoming a blue state? And he gave a very cautious response, just like you did, Jim Nintzel, about the fact that we've seen this polling before, which has shown that the Democrats look real strong, and then election day it just all falls apart.
And Terry knows that as well as anybody.
Yes, he does. And I also asked Terry about his future. Someone on Facebook had asked me, Bill, ask him if he's going to run again for governor. And he said, no, he's not going to run again for governor. And I said, who's on your bench right now for perhaps gubernatorial candidates 2 years from now? And the first name that came up, State Senator Steve Farley.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that, that would be the contender, but one never knows in this business. But I think state lawmakers tend to have very low name ID.
Right. Of the average voters in Phoenix, who knows who Steve Farley is? We do here because he's been fairly outspoken on things and, has managed to keep himself in the news in Tucson. But in Phoenix, where of the state's voters are, do they know who he is? In Flagstaff or Kingman? Do they know?
Can he raise a couple million dollars to run a competitive race?
Exactly.
And I think those are some pretty big questions, Jim, to ask at this point.
Jim Nintzel, on the county budget, can we expect a small decrease in our property taxes?
That's what it sounds like. You know, it all depends on what your property value has been doing, but I think the vast majority of people will see a drop, primarily because of that lawsuit that the county won against the state, where the state tried to move, $16, $18 million worth of education expenses down to the county level, and were unsuccessful in doing that thanks to a judge's order. And so there is some relief ahead for Pima County taxpayers, it sounds like.
The outcome of that lawsuit basically took us from a small increase in property taxes to a small cut. So based on how things would have played out, it's even a little bit better for your pocketbook. Although we're talking, for most homeowners, not a whole lot of money, enough to buy a pizza or two.
There you go. The public records request, Dylan, that did not come up at this meeting in July. And because they are on a summer schedule, I understand that has been put off till early August.
Well, it was discussed, the public records that TucsonSentinel.com has asked for, and that the Star has asked for, and the Weekly, and a couple of other news outlets that are still not being filled, and from Supervisor Allie Miller's office, and a few records we are still waiting on from the county, from the administration as well. It was briefly discussed this week, and we gave the supervisors a brief update when they asked us if we thought that the requests had been met. Our assessment, looking at the evidence, the documents that we have in hand, it really is proof that the statements that Supervisor Allie Miller has said she does not use her personal email for public business, and this is really the crux of the issue, that's not true. She said this repeatedly, over and over again, in her legally required responses to public records requests. And it's quite simply not true. So and actually, you know, under Arizona law, there's nothing illegal or wrong about using your private email or your personal cell phone or your own Facebook chat messages to do public business. That's legal. But they are public records. And when, not just a reporter, when any citizen asks to see a public record, you have to give it to them. That's the law. And really, you know,
go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to give kudos to Dylan for what he has done on this story. The pursuit of these public records has been largely driven by him, and I think what we have uncovered, as he's saying, is that it's pretty clear that Supervisor Miller just uses her private email and her Facebook accounts for conducting county business, despite her denials that she has done so. But I think it's going to take a judge to actually force the release of those records if she has not destroyed them at this point. And then that's going to be a very interesting legal question that as it moves forward. And the other question there is whether or not Supervisor Miller will have to pick up her own legal fees for this, or whether the county will cover them. And I think the Board of Supervisors is trying to ensure that county taxpayers are not on the hook for what Supervisor Miller is doing here.
The issue of destroying public records is a pretty serious one. It is a felony to destroy a public record. It's a felony to mishandle a public record, even.
All right.
But if this does end up in court, a judge will end up not only forcing the turnover of whatever records exist, but going to the service providers, going to Google and Yahoo and Facebook, and getting the backups and comparing them to see if records were destroyed or mishandled.
All right, Dylan Smith.
And I think, are we out of time?
Yeah, we're out of time. Real quickly, Jim, what was that?
Well, I was going to say, I think there was one record turned over in this whole thing that has Allie's personal email on it, and she was saying that's a one-off, but I requested records a couple of years ago with communications she was having with her workers back then, and they were all coming from her private email address, a different one in that case, but I think it's
we have numerous recent examples.
All right, gotta go, guys. Jim Nitzel, thanks. Have a great weekend, Jim.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dylan, thank you very much. All right, we've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Some of his picks, usually there are three, including a happy hour pick. I think we could all use a happy hour pick right about now, Dylan, couldn't we?
Well, let me go cover this thing with the police before I have a drink.
Okay,
this
there you go. All
maybe
right.
Maybe after that.
All right. Simon and Garfunkel.
Many's the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken, and certainly misused. Ah, but I'm all right, I'm all right. I'm just weary to my bones.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Nice, cool getaway. 3 hours east of Tucson. That elevation over there makes for very, very nice, cool evenings, and we could use a few of those right about now. Great places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn and Pinos Altos Cabins. The full listing of the many places to stay and so much to do at Silver City in Grant County, check out southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, we could use a happy hour pick right about now.
We certainly could, Bill. You know, here we are heading into the middle of July, and there's no sign of rain at all this week.
I know.
We got to call the monsoon out, and I suggest getting over to the Independent Distillery downtown for a round of dark and stormies. Now, this classic cocktail starts with Gosling's Black Seal Rum, Angostura Bitters, and Lime Juice, and it's made extra special by a spiced-up ginger beer that they make in-house. So, Bill, I figured if enough of us went down there today for a dark and stormy, things might get a little, well, dark and stormy around here.
Yeah, we need that monsoon rain. Let's hope the monsoon isn't over. Any openings of new properties that we should hear about?
Yeah, you better believe it. Fans of the original Prep and Pastry on Campbell Avenue have reason to celebrate this weekend. They just opened their second location on Grant between Tankerville and Wilmot. Now, this breakfast, lunch, and brunch spot has virtually everything foodies crave, from a pork belly and egg on house-made cheddar biscuit to cast iron duck confit with a goat cheese mousse. A great lineup of daytime cocktails adds to the vibe as well. Check out the new Prep and Pastry. I think you'll be glad you did.
What's this I'm hearing about a place called Bisbee Breakfast Club?
Yeah, Bill, a lot of buzz around this place. Some hot news on the morning meal front. The Bisbee Breakfast Club just opened up on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's their second location right here in town, And they've attracted quite a following since their first location opened up in Bisbee years ago. And folks in the foothills, as you can imagine, are welcoming them with open arms. Now, this menu leans towards the more conventional breakfast offering, like steak and eggs and huevos rancheros and hotcakes, but there's a lot of buzz behind fun dishes like the potato cakes and something called the wing dinger. I say head to Bisbee this weekend for breakfast without leaving Tucson. It's the Bisbee Breakfast Club.
And I say thank you very much. Back at you, Matt. Have a great one. Matt Russell with our weekend watch. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. Big shout out to Christophan. He is the fine German composer who has our original theme music, Buckmaster. Several people this week were asking me, where do they get his album? It's coming out soon. We'll tell you about it when it does come out. It will be called One God. This week on Liberty Watch from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, Mr. Charles Heller hosting Stephen Moore and Kathleen White, co-authors of Fueling Freedom, about how energy is the key to the future freedom of America. A rare two-hour interview on Charles's program. Thank you very much to all of my friends here at KVOI who do such a great job, like Tom Fairbanks, who is my engineer producer on Friday. Ray Allen's with me Monday through Thursday. Ed Alexander, ace production guy Jerry Cross, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners, and my assistant Rosemary Brandt. On behalf of all of them and me, have a great weekend.